I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
Presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Jorrett, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Headed out to some Friday night lights tonight, Scotty.
You're going to the game. You can go see Rock.
Yeah, I've got stipulations, but yeah. I've laid down certain stipulations. I'm going to be wearing a Chewbacca mask. As to go unrecognized and unnoticed.
You just don't want somebody coming up and, hey, what's going on with the Jazz?
No, I don't want any... I don't want to talk to friends, family. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to hear anybody. I don't even want to be there.
Take that hat. The problem is you have the size thing that's working against you.
I know. It works directly against me. it's murderous.
Wear like go James Harden, put a fat suit on or something.
It's with the 6'5 guy. It's got the Chewbacca mask on. It's probably Ants again. Oh, man, it's just miserable. I don't know what it is. I need to seek psychiatric help, I think. There's something that I'm not dealing with in my past that's helping me or making me struggle to go watch my son's high school game. But I'll get over it. But I did want to mention this. Friday Night Lights going down. And, Scotty, you did a really good job yesterday of talking about some of the amazing things that KSL Sports is doing to highlight high school sports, because high school football it seems like it's changed from when you and I started into radio to now.
Even the last 5 to 7 years, it's just skyrocketed in popularity. And Nate Dowdle, I can't take any of this credit because Nate Dowdle's the one that put it together, but Nate and Dusty Lister, and there's so many great talented broadcasters and producers that put this whole thing together. Trevor Allen's going to be a big part of this as well. I even think our guy Eric in studio is going to be helping out tonight with some of the KSLSports.com coverage. And essentially, with all the streaming games that are being streamed at KSLSports.com, Nate came up with the idea of tonight on The Zone and every Friday night, we're doing our own version of Red Zone. And everybody watches the NFL Red Zone channel. Well, we're doing a high school football Red Zone on the air tonight.
What time does that start?
It'll start at 7 o'clock right here on The Zone. And there'll be a Bees game on 1280, so you're going to want to go out to 97.5 to catch it. And with all these games being streamed, Dusty Lister, who does really, really good work, is going to be here in studio, and they're going to go from game to game. When a game gets really interesting, boom, they're going to go over to this one. If this game gets really interesting, they'll shoot it over here. And so it's really, really impressive the work that they put together in their high school coverage, and we're really excited to be a part of it.
Should I put out a poll question? Do you care about high school football?
Yeah, let's see what the old answer is on that.
What do you think it would be?
I would say 65% yes.
Do I need to... I won't even attach if your kid is playing. Just very simple. Do you watch high school football? Something like that?
Yeah.
Do you watch high school football?
Do you enjoy?
Do you follow slash enjoy high school football? You think it'll be 60%?
I will say a little north of that, 65%. Might be a little bit higher. I could see it being in the 70s too. Because there's, you get to a certain point where either you're too young and you don't care because you don't have a kid in playing and you're not too overly fixated on your alma mater. Or you get old and your kids are out of school and you don't care anymore.
Have you been to a high school sport that your kid's not playing in? Because I have. I've gone to a couple of basketball games to support some friends, some kids' friends, some friends' kids.
I have not recently. I can't remember the last time I went to a high school or middle school game that didn't involve my kids.
I'll go out and I think I would go to a couple of different things, but I, as I've told you, just having my daughters in high school volleyball, that has been one of the greatest joys of my life. Like I love having them. I can watch a volleyball game.
There's something different about watching, even as a player, when you played back in the day, you never really got nervous. It was fun. You just went out there and did your thing. But watching your kid play, and that's, I don't know if that's why you're a little anxious about tonight, but it's just, it rips your guts apart watching your kids play.
It's pretty tough. I love watching my kids play volleyball. It's really weird.
So you, volleyball is great. Football is what puts you in a bad mood.
Yeah, it's just torture. And I've talked to my wife about it because she was a college volleyball player and it doesn't affect her like it does me. Like going to a volleyball match doesn't affect her like it does me going to football
game. Yeah.
But I guess all parents probably deal with something. Like we were talking with Tim at RGS and he loves it. Coaches it, loves being around his boys, loves being around the program. For me, it's just a lot harder to do that.
All right. High school football, by the way, good luck to everybody out there. Enjoy your games. Hopefully your kids play well. Hopefully your alma mater plays well. You and I don't really have a lot of skin in this game because, frankly, we're Idaho boys. So, but it's really taken off here in the state.
It is.
And the quality has just been through the roof, too.
So just put it out. Got 35 votes right now. 60% yes. 60-40. Right now, yes to no. So you're pretty darn close right now.
Be interesting to see how that holds.
Just 25 votes in.
All right. Utah, BYU, Utah State. Aggies will be underway 2 weeks from tomorrow. They'll welcome in UConn. You'll hear all those games right here on the Zone.
Anything that they've got to fix, any real questions that they're – because I'm going to be out at their scrimmage on Saturday.
Yeah, you and I are both going to go up there tomorrow and hang out. You bringing Rock?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Uncle Phil going to be in the building?
Uncle Phil's going to be up there. Rock's got to go see that Merlin Olsen statue.
There you go.
Go see the Merlin Olsen on the field. Got to take him up there and, you know, just let him see the place and the scrimmage. You know, back when – I get so many people that throw hate my way for not going to Utah State. But back when I was coming out of high school, Utah State was just not good.
No, that was
– they weren't good.
I mean, honestly, look – everybody knows I went to Utah State. I've got an affinity towards that school. I do their play-by-play. So I'm more than happy to admit that. But I think we can also understand that any high-level recruit at that point in 95, 96, from anywhere from – now, John L. Smith did have that 1 year where they won a conference title, and I want to say 97. And then he left. And then but that era a little bit before and that era up until Gary took over in 2009 – those were some dark, dark years.
Yeah, they were.
And when you have Nebraska knocking down your door and BYU knocking down your door like you did, I can totally understand why.
It was a tough decision, man.
And I understand the angst that went behind it, but it's understandable why you decided to go to BYU. Or had you not gone to BYU, you would have gone to Nebraska, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a lack of John L. Smith trying. I can tell you that.
He put in the due diligence. He put in the work. A lot of people put in the work.
Coach Katzer.
I remember that guy.
Arslanian?
Arslanian was after John L.
Was he?
Yeah.
trying to remember who the there was another coach that was there that was they're crazy. But yeah, I got to take him up there. I'm excited to see the scrimmage. You nervous about the offensive line?
I think there's a couple elements that you want to keep an eye on. The offensive line is going to be one of them. Not overly concerned about wide receivers. I know they lost, you know, Devin Tompkins, which is a huge loss in terms of his production. Derek Wright, Brandon Bowling, Carson Terrell. Like, those were great, great receivers, great tight ends. I do think they're going to be okay because the guys they brought in are really, really good. And I think that the production and the offense will generate numbers from their wide receivers. So I'm not overly concerned. A little bit about running back depth. Calvin Tyler's back, but Ellie and Noah transferred out, who was the backup. And so there's a little bit of a concern there.
Was Calvin Tyler out for like three games?
He missed a few.
He did, didn't he? So you hope
still
he
almost
stay.
Had 1,000 yards in, I want to say, 10 games last year.
He's so good.
And then on the defensive side, look, Justin Rice, we talked about that Air Force game. Justin Rice almost single-handedly won that game late with a strip and forced a fumble to win that game. Nick Henninger.
Four or five TFLs in that game.
Nick Henninger was a force of nature. And you know, they're little. Nick's,
yeah, you're going to miss Nick.
And they're a little thin in the defensive backfield, but they get pressure on the quarterback. They get after it. I think they've got a chance to, as we mentioned earlier in the show, win nine games this year.
We're going to really see if we're going to see how much of Logan Bonner's success came off of Devin Tompkins' ability or vice versa. So you always ask the question, you know, we're going to see it with Patrick Mahomes this year. Patrick Mahomes loses that guy. The guy that ran under any pass that he would throw deep. So you lose Devin Tompkins, who basically led the country in yardage last year, and you're going to get to see from Logan Bonner what he's able to do, what type of quarterback he really is. But you go watch some of those passes that he put out there last year, they're on the money. He is a spot quarterback. So I trust that he's going to be able to make whatever receiver, as long as you get some talent, the guy that's not going to drop it, he's going to be able to make whatever wide receiver look pretty good. Just get in your route, get your timing, hit your cuts, get your eyes to the ball, and make the catch. Just don't drop it. That's what I'm not even really worried about the ability of the receiver, Scotty. I just want to make sure that he gets his hands on the ball. I don't want a drop fest with receivers that aren't ready for the moment. Because you know, when it was anywhere close to Devin, he's coming down with it.
100%.
Same with Bowling.
Mm-hmm.
Guys just didn't drop the ball. You know, Utah in the past has struggled with receivers that just drop the ball. Receivers that ball is hitting and they drop it.
Yeah.
I just hope Utah State finds the guys that'll stick to, that want to be heroes.
Offensive line's a question, and I think that's a fair concern to have there.
Yeah, I know that they've got some really big recruits. And two in particular that you and I have talked about. And those freshmen are fighting for time.
And could very well be in the rotation.
Yeah. So that tells you that the line was probably pretty thin, because when you're looking at offensive line, that should be a little bit more difficult to bust into as an underclassman. Even though we're kind of seeing it with Kingsley Suamataea at BYU, who hasn't played a down of college football. He had a rotational he'd gone out to Oregon, so he'd been in the program for a year, and he's been in college football. This would be his second year, but not on the field. Yet he's kind of owning the headlines at BYU for camp right now. So Kingsley, which, by the way, Scotty, that is a tough one, because you got LaChance and others. And I haven't even seen them absolute name Freeland as the left tackle. The only position that Coach Funk would name was that guard position with Clark Barrington. Other than that, he was like,
no.
Open competition.
Yep.
And I'm looking at Blake Freeland as a potential high round pick in the NFL, and he's out there fighting. Why? Because Kingsley's doing some great things, and you got Harris LaChance, who is a potential draftable type offensive lineman. So it's a dogfight on that offensive line for BYU right now. But that youth, when you're young, breaking into offensive line is really tough. It's easier to break into the defensive line young than it is the offensive line, in my opinion.
That's why you look at a lot of depth charts, and every week when I'm putting together depth charts for, you know, my speed boards for Utah State and other games, and I'll be putting them together, and you see a lot of offensive linemen, and it'll always say redshirt offensive line or redshirt junior, redshirt senior. Because in a perfect world, you want to redshirt those big guys. Let them sit a year. Let them try to figure things out. Let them see where they're at, and then go from there. And if you're able to let those guys sit a bit and get them in the weight room and get them the body right. I mean, we saw at the day of adoption, those guys coming from the University of Utah. I've already forgotten their names. But those dudes are going to be, I mean, they've got the frame, but you can tell they're a long ways away from being contributors.
One was 6'6", one was 6'5".
Yeah.
But absolutely, you could tell. You could tell they've got a long way to go in Jim Harding's program.
And I have little doubt that they'll get there, but you don't want to see those guys on the field next year for the University of Utah.
Nope. But they got the build and the frame. It just takes a minute. And that's what makes me a little bit nervous with Utah State right now. I love hearing 17 sacks coming out of a scrimmage. But when you hear 17 sacks coming out of scrimmage one, that's a number. It's like, oh, man. That's your offensive line that was blocking it. And that makes you pretty darn nervous.
Which offensive line do you feel most comfortable with going into next season, Utah or BYU?
BYU.
Utah's not far behind, but I'd still give it.
BYU's more complete.
Yeah.
A little bit more depth. Utah's going to have, I think, a really good starting five. But BYU's got their seven, maybe even eight deep with guys that have starting experience and are very good. That BYU offensive line is one of the best I've ever covered here.
I think it's honestly from top to bottom one of the best in the country.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, that's why I think against Baylor and that defensive front, they just got to step it up. They're going to have to bow up.
Telling you a trick that a lot of guys that like to gamble on college football. One of the stats they always look at least in early games, early non-conference games, they will take a look at number of combined returning offensive linemen starts. And there are guys out there, Phil Steele does a really good job of it, where he'll add up all the combined total starts of offensive line. And if you see a game in the early preseason where there's a huge discrepancy between two teams in a non-conference game, and you might think, oh, it's evenly matched. It's Michigan versus Oregon or some game like that. And you think, okay, this should be an evenly matched game. And you see a huge discrepancy between returning offensive line starts, always go with the team with the heavy advantage in offensive line starts.
Yep.
Because that experience is always worth its weight in gold. And if there's a big discrepancy, not to say that the other team isn't talented on the offensive line, they're just not experienced. And teams can really feast on inexperienced offensive lines, especially early in a season.
Well, I think that BYU's offensive line is stacked and deep, and I think Utah's offensive line is in a really, really good position with what you just talked about. Multiple starts, some really good players. It does hurt to lose Nick Ford. I thought that Nick did a really good job of being that veteran offensive line presence. But I think that Utah has all the ability, all the potential that they need. And really, it starts, in my opinion, it starts with Satoa Laomea. That's where it starts for me. I know that Mile is right now getting the starting center reps. But you've got really good potential in Jaron Kump, who, if he'd have stayed healthy, he was going to be spectacular. And now he's back and he's healthy, so he should be able to take over some leadership there. And then two guys that have been underrated and under the radar for Utah in their offensive line is Braden Daniels and Keaton Bills. They've been under-talked about, undervalued. And Braden Daniels and Keaton Bills should be special this year for Utah.
226, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, we spin the wheel. Little sports roulette straight ahead right here on The Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. There's so much I want to say.
Me too, buddy. But we've got a loaded wheel. 16 stories with the two that you added. 16 stories total. Let's see, 16. Yep. Wait, 1, 2, 3. Yes. 16.
Yeah, there it is. Eric, you okay with all of these? You going to be fine?
Yeah, I mean, we better get started.
Let's do it, man.
All right, let's fire up that wheel.
Girl power.
I tweeted out a story about this woman earlier today because I watched this video about Tamara Walcott. She is the 2022 World Raw Powerlifting Federation champion. And Scotty, she just broke the world record for the triple lift combine, which the triple lift combine is taking the squat, the bench, and the deadlift and combining those numbers. She just broke the world record for those combined numbers for a woman. And I tweeted out the video, and I hope people go watch this video because she's impressive. Scotty, she had a couple of kids, and she got up to like 400 pounds, she said. She was just out of weight or out of shape.
Happens to the best of us.
And really struggling.
Yeah.
And as her kids got a little bit older, she says she was looking in their eyes and said, I really want to be there for you. So she starts into weight training and becomes a power lifter. And if you see this woman, you go watch the video, she's just an impressive human being. Just impressive. So here's her lifts. She squatted 600.7 pounds. She benched 380.3 pounds and deadlifted 639.4 pounds. So you get two attempts on each. She got under 600 pounds on squat. And by the way, squat has to go 90. So your butt has to be 90 to your knees.
Okay.
So she squats 600 pounds and does it. I'm not going to say easy because it looked like her eyes were going to pop out of her head. She got under 380 pounds on the bench and it's got to be a full stop. So she comes down to the chest, she stops, and then she pushes up the 380, and it was a lot of work. Her final lift was the deadlift, and she had 639 pounds on the bar. to break the world record. And she got under for her first lift and she got up, but you have to be able to push your hip forward in order for that to count as the rep, a full lift. So she lifted the 639 the first time and thought she had it, so she dropped the weights and they didn't call the weight.
They
gave her a disqual. So she had to get back under the 600. You only get twice. She had to get back under the 639 pounds knowing that if she didn't get that lift, she's going to miss the world record. And she got under it, and you could tell that first one took the guts out of her. But she strained and strained and got that thing up, got it right to her hips, pushed forward, extended the shoulders. They count the rep, and she's got the world record.
Wow.
I love stuff like this. I love women like that that just they go after these goals, and they do amazing things.
All right, spin it.
Keep your hands off my tournament.
If you are having any issues and any, how should I say this, any concern about the future of college athletics and you're looking for somebody to blame and you're looking for somebody to get after, let me introduce you to Greg Sankey. Greg is the commissioner of the SEC and he wants to, whether it's overt or whether it's a little bit more subtly, change the entire landscape of college athletics. At first, it was all about football. It was about, okay, look, we're tired of what's going on. We don't like the inequality here. We're tired of trying to uplift everybody. We're the SEC. We're better than every one of you, and we want to make sure that our SEC teams are making as much money as possible. And if that means we have to create our own division and we have to boot teams out, or we have to completely alter the landscape where the haves are going to separate from the have-nots, so be it. That's the world we're going. And it hasn't been fun, and it's led to weird things like USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, and these two super conferences are essentially going to beat up on everybody else. But we've seen it coming for a while, and we've kind of accepted it with football. Now, Greg Sankey wants to sink his teeth into the NCAA tournament, saying on Thursday he wants to take a fresh look at the NCAA basketball tournament, perhaps with an eye towards expansion of the current 68 team. He said, "We're not ready to make headlines there yet, but he is open to the conversations about the big dance that doesn't exclude small conference champions while potentially including more teams." Okay, let me tell you the translation of what's going on here. The SEC, or excuse me, Greg Sankey, and he's not the only one here, but you're going to see other conferences that don't like losing bids for their conferences to teams from the Atlantic Sun or the Big Sky or the Big West Conference, these automatic qualifying bid conferences. They're tired of it. And frankly, they're probably tired of a team like St. Peter's coming out of nowhere and making the Sweet 16. So while they're saying all the right things like, oh, we're thinking about expanding, make no mistake, they have their eyes on those AQ bids. And it would not surprise me if we get to a world here in the near future where those automatic qualifying bids are completely eliminated. And they'll say, hey, look, we're just going to judge everybody on their own merits. And those are the teams that are going to get into the NCAA tournament.
No automatic qualifiers.
I think we are heading on that. I've talked to so many coaches out there that think that's what these bigger conferences are looking to do, because the NCAA tournament generates a lot of money. And the more teams you get in and the further they go in the tournament, the more credits you start racking up. And they're tired of giving out automatic qualifying bids to these lesser conferences, because that's automatic money that goes in their pocket that could be lining the pockets of some of these other conferences. Remember the, I forget the name of the athletic director at Ohio State. Gene Smith, I believe his name is. And remember, Gene Smith was out and open and honest about what they want to do in football. They're thinking, look, we want to create a separate division. We want to govern ourselves. We're tired of the NCAA. You can keep everything else. Keep the NCAA tournament the way it is. We just want to work on football. It was never just about football. They're coming for everything, folks. And the greed that has gutted college football and changed the landscape of college football, it's coming for the NCAA tournament, too. So just get ready for it. It's going to get gutted and changed. And if you love to see the big boys play, then you'll probably see a lot of it. But if you like seeing Weber State make the NCAA tournament, or you'd like to see St. Peter's, or who's that team with the nun that went everywhere and they went to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, that ain't happening anymore.
Like Chicago Loyola.
Yeah, exactly. Like those stories are going to be going away here pretty soon.
That's
so just prepare yourself.
Because those are some of the best stories of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Some of those darlings and the Cinderellas and the David and Goliath moments. Those are some of the best stories. That would be a shame if they pull the automatic qualifiers and say, well, we'll just pull the 80th grade. Because I saw that they're talking about going to full quartet of first fours. So instead of just the two, you're going to go now to a full 80 bracket from 68 to 80 to the play-ins and expand it. And that gives you so much more opportunity. Why even touch the AQs? Just don't even touch them. And even if you got to make the AQs a play-in, but don't touch the AQs.
Or just because they may get a, you know, they don't want the backlash. They'll say, okay, look, we're going to push it to 80, and all you AQ teams are going to play that first.
The play-in.
And we're going to give you, instead of giving you a full share, we're going to give you, if you're automatic, we'll give you a half share.
That's not right. Because we've seen enough stories to really be able to justify to a TV network and to a country why Chicago Loyola or any one of these underdog stories belongs. Because that's what we all wait for in the tournament. I'm not waiting for Kentucky to match up with Kansas. I'm not waiting for that. I'd be interested to see one of these underdog stories push Kansas to the final buzzer. That's what I'm.
Yeah.
That's where my interest is in these tournaments. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I got to imagine our country loves that, don't they?
Yeah.
Is that not what's made the tournament so successful?
That's what's when Ryan Odom's UMBC team knocks off Virginia, the first ever 16-1 upset. You can't tell me that's not great for this sport. You can't tell me what St. Peter's did last year or what Loyola Chicago did. This whole thing feels dirty.
Yep.
The last 16 months, 18 months of college athletics, it feels dirty.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we'll all still watch and we'll all still enjoy it. It's just
getting greedy.
Just greedy.
Yeah.
It's what's the old Mark Cuban line? Hogs get fat, or what's the line?
Oh. Yeah, hogs get fat, then eventually get slaughtered.
You know, pigs eat,
then they
hogs
get
slaughtered.
They get lazy,
yeah,
and then they get slaughtered. It's basically saying the Giants fall at some point.
Once you try to get two out ahead of your skis, bad things happen.
Yep.
All right. Let's spin it.
I don't believe you.
Tyson Fury is retiring again.
I don't believe you either.
Yeah. Turned 34 years old today. So his birthday, 34-year-old birthday today. Can you believe he's only 34? Does he not look 47?
Yeah.
Or 52?
That dude's lived a hard life, both on and out of the ring.
Have you ever seen more of a phenom athlete than
no,
him?
No, no.
What I mean by phenom is like outperforming the eyeball test. He's 34 years old, Scott.
That blows me away.
It blows me away, too. So he had teased retirement. Then he said he's coming back out of retirement. He was going to fight Derek Chisora, and because it was going to be a trilogy fight. And then today, 34th birthday, Tyson Fury announces his retirement through an Instagram post. Puts a picture of him and his trainer, goes through all the thank yous, says massive thanks to everyone who had an input in my career over the years. After long, hard conversations, I finally decided to walk away, and all of this on my 34th birthday. I say to you all, bon voyage.
For now.
Why has this become such a thing for boxers in particular? I know Tom Brady just did, and you can blame football players and everybody else, but it's always the boxers that retire and then come out of retirement. And I say the boxers. There's probably a handful that I can think of off the top of my mind.
I mean, how many times has Floyd Mayweather retired? 10 times?
At least. Yeah, probably 10. Yeah, because I think he was 40-0 and then had 10 retirements to get to 50-0.
A retirement for every win.
Yeah. But Tyson Fury at the young age of 34, who is one of the more fantastic things in sports to me right now. I don't want him to retire. I want him to keep fighting. I just don't want the circus of it all. Does it really promote more interest?
It feels like the Rolling Stones, who, this is our last concert. It's our retirement concert tour. Until 2 years later, we're going to go back out on tour, and we're going to tour again. Okay, now this is the last tour. We promise. This is, yeah. If you have not seen us yet in concert.
And then they name it World's Last Tour.
And then they do it again.
And then they say, not quite dead yet tour.
Do you think Tyson Fury believes it?
No, I don't.
So deep down, he knows he's going to come back and fight again.
I got to imagine. It's got to be a publicity stunt. I don't know and it makes me wonder if he's trying to get somebody that he wants to fight, like, out of their shell to announce that they want the run at the heavyweight title, and then he'd be like, oh, I'm still here. Come get it. I don't know if he's trying to egg somebody into it. I don't know if he's got a fight in mind that if the promoter talks him into coming out of retirement for this big fight, then they all get the $100 million purse. I don't know what it is that these fighters are trying to do. It never felt like it helped Floyd Mayweather with anything. It was always like, Floyd, finally, please just retire.
Any boxer, any UFC fighter who announces a retirement, I immediately go to the I don't believe you card.
Yeah. Yep. I don't believe you, Tyson. And I kind of hope to see you back in a boxing ring at some point. You and your weird antics. He is something.
All right. One more, Eric. Spin it.
The roof is on fire.
Is that too far back for you, Eric?
No, I knew those were song lyrics about reading them, but I don't know the melody to go with it.
The roof is on fire.
The roof is on fire.
There you go. We won't finish it.
No. Probably for the best.
Unless we get wind. So Earl Thomas's house caught on fire in Orange, Texas.
I didn't know we were going to talk about a literal roof being on fire.
Oh, no, this actually happened. Lightning hit his house.
Really?
Burned it to the ground.
Left eye is not available for...
No. This is not going to be tracked back to Lisa Lopez. No. I don't have proof, and I don't know if they've got proof that the lightning bolt hit it, but that's what this news channel reported. I watched the news channel report. The flames were probably 50 feet high. And again, Orange, Texas, Earl Thomas. Everybody knows Earl Thomas, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Seahawk legend.
For sure.
Finished up with the Ravens. Earl Thomas, one of the biggest hitters in all of football. So apparently a lightning bolt hit his house, lit it on fire. They were in the house at the time, Scotty. Everybody got out safely. But the house is, and I quote, a total loss.
Wow.
Following the blaze. It always makes me sad to think of a house burning because I think of, there's probably six or seven things I need to get out of my house.
Yeah. What do you go to first?
My dogs.
Oh, okay. That's a given.
Okay. And then my kids.
Stop it.
Just kidding.
Collectively the same. All of them at the same time.
All at the same time.
I'm talking about possessions, though.
First thing I go to?
Because I've got all my all of our photos. I've kind of put them on the cloud, so yeah. I'm not worried about like a photo album or anything like that.
I put most of the photos on the cloud. Probably the photo file, because we've got two boxes of both my wife and I from when we were little that I haven't put them all on.
Yeah.
A lot of them, but not all of them. But probably those, and then probably my guns. Probably go get my guns and my ammo, so it's not shooting off in the fire.
That's probably for the best, yeah.
So guns, photos. Gosh, what would you go get? Would you grab your hard drive? Would you try to grab your...
Yeah, I'd want to make sure I get all the files and stuff.
Maybe your laptop or your hard drive?
Yeah, pictures are... I'm not a real big possession guy. I'm trying to think if there's anything. I mean, there's some.
You know, we had a forced evacuation when we were living in Saratoga
Springs.
Oh, yeah,
when you get the old mudslides.
I was on a golf course in St. George.
Oh, geez.
No, this was a fire that came down.
Oh, okay.
And it was a forced city evacuation. So the police officers and fire department came up because we were the furthest house back on the mountain. And this wildfire was coming down fast. So Amanda single-handedly had to get all four of our kids, one dog at the time. And I'll have to ask her what she grabbed. I know she grabbed the hard drive. I know she grabbed a picture box. But she had like 15 minutes to clear the house of what she could because the fire was coming so fast. And yeah, that's pretty much all she grabbed. I think other than that, I feel like I could, you know, claim a bunch of stuff on insurance and have a new house built.
Be pretty hard to move my lathe. That sucker weighs a lot.
Not without my lathe.
Hey, by the way, just got a text from a good friend of ours. Jerry Bovey's going up to Ben Lomond High School. He's going to be the master of ceremonies. Evan Excel, who's been a prominent force in the high school athletic scene for so many years, worked with the High School Athletic Association, was at Ben Lomond High School for so many years. They're going to name their court after him. So a big event going on at Ben Lomond High School. Congratulations to Evan. Really good dude. Has been done so much to honor a lot, or so much to help out the world of high school athletics for so many years. So congratulations to him. They're going to announce him as the, or put his name on the court there at Ben Lomond High School. So again, congratulations to him. It should be a good event going on.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
They're putting his name out there, huh?
On the basketball court. How great is that?
Quick update on the high school scene.
Yeah.
53%. So 350 votes so far. 53% saying yes, they love high school football. 47% saying no.
So really?
You're pretty close. Would you say 56?
Or I said 65, yeah.
53%.
That surprised me a little bit. All right, 251. We'll wrap things up, get you ready for Unrivaled next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sport. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well. Thanks for making us part of your Friday, part of your week. Folks, we are just 2 weeks away from week zero of college football season, although I'm not really sure what. Why don't you just call it week one?
I hate the week zero thing. That's the dumbest thing. It's just the opening week of college football. That's what it is to me.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. What's the other thing? The week zero. Is it the playoffs? There's a playoff system that says week zero, or is it the NCAA tournament? Is that
the first four that they call it? Now they
call it the first round.
They call it the first round, but they used to just call it the first four, and then they fed into the first round. And it's like, no. Just call it the first round.
They do call it the first round now?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, Utah State, I think that this is a really good primer for them. I think that, we're getting ready for that kickoff next week, right?
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
So next week we'll start into some game prep.
Yep.
If I'm sitting there studying and getting ready for this thing, I'd imagine you start into game prep on Tuesday for UConn.
Could be, yeah, absolutely.
You break camp, start, because they started camp a full week.
Before everybody else.
Before, so they could cancel this out. They've been in camp for 3.5 weeks
now. Yeah.
So I would say after this scrimmage, you might have one, maybe two more practices where you're working on your own stuff, and then we're getting scout teams ready, and we're putting together game plans, and we're narrowing it down to the 12 plays we want to take to the start, and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
These college football players right now are just exhausted, hips hurt, muscles achy. Hoping that none of them have injuries that are holding them out or potentially hold them out. But excited to get up to the scrimmage tomorrow at Utah State. Both Scotty and I are going to be there.
Yep.
Watching this thing.
If you're going to be up there, make sure to say hi to us. Love to chat with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, come say hi and we'll talk any college football with you want.
That wraps it up for us. Hey, remember, coming up tonight, 7 o'clock start time, it is the Red Zone Rewind Show. as Dusty Lister will be in studio, and he'll take you across all of college or all of high school football. And remember to go to kslsports.com. All the games are being streamed there as well. So you can find your team, all the action. High school football gets underway tonight. Actually got underway last night, but most games being played later tonight right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.